Good evening. It's Wednesday, July 24th. It's the Invitational Wrap-Up Show. Finally, I'm here with my good friend and seems to be devious buddy, CJ. CJ, how are you tonight?
I'm doing fantastic, Scott. The Invitational was a little rough for me the first 2 days, but I think I got some measure of redemption on the last day. But it was a really fun event, as always. One of these years, I'd love to compete. But just wasn't in the cards for me this year.
You pulled tough duty this year.
Yeah. Well, I was lucky to play with really fun people. So that, you know, if you're going to be grinding out 20 back around, you want to be with fun people. But I got that done. I do have a gift for you, Scott.
A gift?
A post-invitational gift.
Okay.
So everyone loves a good Crooker story.
Don't we all?
I didn't see Crooker much during the Invitational.
I saw too much of him.
But you may notice that I have two computers with me today.
I do notice
that. And that's because Crooker is dialing in on Zoom.
No
chance.
For
a quick interview.
Wow. This is going to be great.
You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. I'm pulling it up. Bill. Hey, Bill Crooker. Are you there? Can you hear me?
Salutations, gentlemen. Scott, CJ, you are both looking positively fantastic this evening.
Crooker, are you doing okay? Catch a cold or something? What's going on?
Scotty, as you are well aware, I treat my body like a temple of toxic waste.
Well, yeah.
We took it up a notch at the Invitational. Our crew ran hot the entire time. When we drank ourselves out of the tournament, we pressed the gas even harder. There were consequences.
Wait, consequences? Plural? What's going on?
I have reached a transformative state. Some may say a higher plane of existence. The only question is whether it is transient or permanent. It is a confounding yet necessary step in my quest to the Augusta Brotherhood.
You're starting to scare me a little here, Crooker.
No longer shall I be called Crooker. I am Flounder, and Clubba is Flubba. Hans has become Mr. Hanky. Rickenbach remains a tall drink of water.
Wait, so Eric Rickenbach participated in all this debauchery and is unaffected?
We are still trying to make sense of it. He may be a god. We are all contemplating our existences in this dark void you call the universe.
Maybe we should just cut that part out of the podcast.
You're getting awfully deep here, Flounder.
Your mom is awfully deep.
Oh, hey now, that was uncalled for.
Well, don't be a dick about it. I'm opening up here to my newfound existence.
Well, we wanted to talk golf, not transient godlike states, Crooker.
Really, CJ? You want to talk golf? How'd you do last weekend? You whine about playing from the tips for a month and you barely show up. I'm surprised Jay Messina is still speaking to you.
Wow, Scott, I'm speechless. I don't have anything more. Do you have any questions for Flounder, Scott?
No, I think I'm good. Let's shut him down.
Yeah, that might get cut. I don't think that anyone's going to hear that. Crooker's kind of taken a bit of a weird turn.
Wow.
Yeah, or Flounder. Said, Flounder's taken a bit of a weird turn.
That was good.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm at SNL.
Yeah. Wow.
CJ, thank you for waking me up today.
Yeah.
Because, first of all, worried about Crooker, but I was worried before that phone call.
Yeah.
And I had to play with him the last day.
How'd it go?
If you looked up the word insufferable in the dictionary, there might be a picture of him in one shot on the first 11 holes at least. And then he got a little better.
Okay. Yeah, he said he had a pretty rough round.
He went from being hungover to too drunk to finally finding his equilibrium, but that was about 15, 16 holes in. But it's good to know he feels good enough to call in on Zoom. So that was great to hear from.
Well, Flounder, we appreciate you making the effort. Wasn't exactly what we're looking for there, but maybe next time we can do a little bit better.
Well, it's good that we have that capacity now where we can have people call in on Zoom.
Yeah, absolutely.
We should have a guest every week.
I think we should.
Because, you know, it seems like we can control the situation a little bit. So that's great.
And I'll say classic post-invitational blues. If they say, I'm going to take a week off golf, at least maybe 2 weeks off golf. I have a match coming up Friday already.
Yeah, you weren't going to take 2 weeks off.
No, no.
But you can't. I mean, we're getting toward the end of the season.
Yeah.
You've got to take advantage now.
You've got a big match tomorrow.
I got a big match tomorrow. CJ, I want to give you a three-pronged life lesson, okay?
All right.
Life advice number one, don't go to Vegas.
Oh, God.
Life advice right, number two. Don't go to Vegas in July when it's 114 degrees out. And life lesson number three, even if you do all those things, never take the red eye home.
How about four? Don't do it right after the Invitational.
The day. At 4 a.m. The day after the Invitational. God. So I'm dragging a little bit, CJ, but you know, we owe our listeners the wrap-up. And
I've been getting a lot of questions about it.
Yeah, I know. People, we become addictive. We really do. I'm getting texts and where's the wrap up and blah, blah, blah.
Sad.
So we there's no way we could have done it Saturday. I think we were both pretty much toast on Saturday.
Fried.
And then I was gone. So here we are. So CJ, without further ado, first of all, thank you for this. You know, on the website, I'd like you to post a picture of this gin that you bought. Because it looks like, the bottle looks like the elixirs they used to have, like in the old cartoons where they would drink them and it would make them, you know, like in Bugs Bunny. This thing looks so cool and it tastes nice. It's going
to
be...
it's Monkey 47 gin. It's a German gin.
That's great. It's going to be putting me to bed, but that's great. So, CJ, let's go through the flights. If you remember when we did the preview, we went 8-1 and that turned my stomach. No.
No?
I don't think we can do that this time.
Okay.
Would you like to do it that way? Let's do it that way.
Yeah, let's do it that way.
All right, let me squall the hot garbage. So in the last flight, what am I looking at?
Prestwick overall. Flight. Yeah. Prestwick.
The Prestwick flight. Am I looking at the totals here or the
No, go to the
I think I'm in
the flight championship, yeah.
All right. So in the garbage flight. Is this right that Pat Doyle won his flight?
Pat Doyle won his flight.
He won his
lessons
flight.
With the McKenzie have
by a lot.
Off. Yeah. 69, wow. 68, 70. That's solid.
So
man.
We did not pick that, I don't believe, did we?
No, we when we made our picks, we did Doyle did come up, but we just stated that he was playing. We didn't make any predictions.
Right. We both picked Dancer and Tinsley and they clearly have lost their they've lost their magic. They should have been walking away with that thing. So, okay, so that was garbage flight. Seventh flight, Hammer, who you told me you thought about, and then you said you heard he's playing terrible. Well, I guess he's not playing that terrible.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Maybe he was padding his handicap.
It's possible. I mean, they won by a lot. They won by 6 strokes. I mean, even that, and 6 strokes after they lost 3 strokes to the field on the last day. So they just ran away with it the first.
Yeah.
The round two is what got them this, and that's 65.
It looks like the drama was in second place. So, by the way, you'll see when we got to the third flight that there's money to be had for second place. So,
yeah. I mean, this is pretty incredible. Pretty incredible when you look at their gross scores. 90, 96, 86, 92, 89, 99.
Just... find a way to ding and dong. It's a beautiful thing. I forget. Who did I pick here? I picked your boy, Sam, and he came in +7. Must have been.
I picked Wynn.
You know what? That's what happens when you take 400 practice wings. Over.
You get tired.
Yeah, you can get tired.
Although they went 68 of the last day.
We did not catch this flight. So, but good job there. Sixth flight. So this is a great story, as you know, because Matt Digby is... Brendan Driscoll's old partner forever and ever, and he shoved Digby onto Toyas because he had Jamie Bruno in town, and you know Digby's a go along to get along guy, and he showed up at a job site Monday morning with the head cover that he once strapped around his neck.
Outstanding.
And Driscoll took a picture of it and sent it to me. He goes, "I'm never gonna get over this." So. Yeah, good for them.
Yeah, looks like he played well.
And but you know, look, Toyas is. I thought that Toyas would struggle with the fact that he was the lowest guy in the flight, but it turns out that it worked out for him.
Yeah.
So
74, 72, 76 for Toyas. That's solid.
I took the Griffin brothers, and they did not do particularly well. So, not good so far with our picks.
No, terrible.
Fifth flight is where we are. Port Rush, Royal Port Rush. So this was Kent Walker. I did pick McGrory. I mean, look at that one. That was a battle to the end.
Yeah, I picked the Dorigos. So I think we did a lot better.
Oh yeah, look at that. Yeah, but the Dorigos were off there. I assume those two played together, so they had to know where they stood. That's tight. So that must have been a good match at the end there if they played together on the last day.
That I must have.
Okay, so now we're on the Royal
Troon. Well, they played together the last 2 days, it looks like, because they were 65 and 66.
Right, yeah, you may be right. Yep. Wow. Marston. Marston and his buddy coming in hot.
Marston's just on a heater.
Yeah, hard to deny. I think I took Marston in this flight.
I think you did, yeah.
And, I mean, wow. It looks like another good flight. I think that was close till the last day. I think those guys, I mean, they shot 64 the last day.
Yeah.
And, you know, there were a lot of hungover people on the last day. There was a lot of dancing. You wouldn't know, CJ, because you didn't make either the stag dinner or the dining.
This is true.
On Friday. But I'm just telling you, there was a lot of ribaldry, if that's a word.
Ribaldry.
Wow. No,
we're going word. We're going high class at 8:30 p.m. on a Wednesday.
All right. So third flight. I think I predicted Kevin McPherson would win that flight, and he did. And I said that I felt good about my chances, and I came in second.
I put Crooker.
Yes, that was a bad pick.
Yeah, he finished dead last.
He finished dead last and owed a lot of money in the side.
Yeah, hence, maybe that's subconsciously where he gave himself the name Flounder. You're not supposed to give yourself nicknames.
No.
Should we accept Flounder?
It fits. I mean, he even without the beard, he would look a little bit like Flounder.
Yeah.
You know? So, but yeah, I think it fits.
All right. Well, I think in this case...
That's a terrible effort.
I think in this case, maybe we'll accept Flounder and Flubba.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think they were getting mad at each other by the last day. So, but, you know, look, they're good buddies, so I assume they'll get over it.
Yeah, they're like brothers.
Second flight, I don't know what to say here. I mean...
Well, nobody told me going in that Mike was going to have Raquel on the bag and basically...
Only the last day. Only the last day.
Yeah, well, they needed it, and she came through because she's a much better player than either of those.
I wonder if you think maybe she putted for them?
No, you know, we were behind them, actually. We were behind that group and Kenny and his guest.
Yeah.
And they were... It was cool. It was cool to watch because, you know, we were not in our flight.
Right.
But since we were last in our flight, we went off...
First.
Behind the first place of the second flight.
I see.
So we saw them grinding over putts. We saw Raquel reading some putts. And it was, I don't know, it was cool to see, man. Like, they really took it seriously, and they played well.
It was an unfair advantage having Raquel there. But, so that flight, again, second place. And if you look at this, obviously those guys ran away with it. But
you picked faster.
Kenny winning at second with 15, and then there was a 14, a 13, a 13. I did pick faster, and he played well.
Yeah. Driscoll with the guest switch, dead last.
Beautiful thing. I told him. I said you should give Jamie to Toyas and keep your boy Digby because that's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
But when was the last time that Brendan Driscoll did the right thing? So, and he paid for it. Yeah. He came in last, and Digby came in first. You couldn't write, if we wrote that script, if we did like a ChatGPT AI thing on that,
no one would believe it. No.
Yeah. So, I mean, if we had Driscoll call in or something like that, no one would believe it.
Yeah, your pick in the first flight finished dead last.
No, I know. I didn't pick very well. CJ, I didn't think you were going to win. I just wanted to make you feel better. I was hoping to give you a little bit of a boost, but it turns out it didn't look like it gave you any boost the first couple of days.
No, I did not perform well. My first two rounds, I was... And, I mean, look...
You may have underestimated the blacks.
No, I overestimated them. I was winding up so hard to swing on the tees, and it just messed me up the first 2 days. Yeah. I didn't need to. In the first round, to his credit, Sam Deerbakley kept telling me, just be smooth. You do not need to hit a mile.
Yeah, it's true.
But even when I hit a good drive, like it totally exposed my game.
Yeah.
Totally exposed it because when I play from the blues, if I hit a good drive, I have 8-iron at most end.
Sure.
I'm hitting wedges in, and I can hit a wedge on the green, no problem. I'm hitting like 6-iron or 5-in. And I just don't ever hit those clubs in a shotic. Never. Right. Like so all of a sudden I'm just not quite used to that lie angle or something, and everything's just duck hooking on me, and it was ugly. But Jay fixed me.
That's good. Last day you played well.
I played well. Jay got on the range. He's like, dude, you're over rotating your hips. So he got behind me, kind of like and ghost like Patrick. He held me. He held me very gently. Nice. Held me by the hips, and he like helped me understand. And Brian Smith had actually told me this before too.
You probably wanted to go and have a steam session after that, but you couldn't because the locker room's closed.
Yeah, we had to, yeah. I'd like to know who's responsible for that last bomb.
Yeah, that had to be. It was someone in. Well, I'll tell you that on Friday night, people were sitting outside on the porch and could smell septic. So something had already started to boil over, if you know what I'm saying. Yeah. So it was someone from the tournament, but it had to be a bomb on Saturday, maybe late into the evening.
Long fuse.
Well, interestingly, I came to find out that one of the stalls was not available because Eric Rickenbach took a nap in it. So, yes, he took a nap in the handicap stall.
The executive.
The executive stall, yes. Yeah, a good solid hour from what I understand. So, and if I heard, see, when I hear that someone takes a nap on a stall, okay, I'm assuming he's sitting on the toilet. From what I understand, he may have laid down on the floor. That, to me, at the end of the day, in that freaking stall, has to be the most disgusting thing I've ever heard.
That's up there.
So there was something going on.
I hadn't heard that story yet.
I also heard there was a lot of, one group had a lot of throwing up going on while they were playing.
And really?
Yeah, I forget which
game. I didn't hear that either.
I heard about it the next day. It could have been Freeman and Mead, who I told you would drink themselves out of it. I think it was Matt Friedman. Not good. But look who won this flight.
So I should
have. I should have. Walker and Max Traylor.
My guy, Max Traylor.
Did you meet Max Traylor?
And let me tell you how.
Okay.
First day on the range, I'm warming up and I'm talking to some guys. I'm talking to Jay. I'm talking to a couple guys around me, and I hear from across the range. I hear CJ, and this guy comes up to me. I'm like, "Who the heck are you?" And he's like, "I recognize the voice from the podcast. I'm Max Traylor." I was like. I just instantly, there was this aura around him. This shining beacon, angel of light.
I can't remember if I met him or not.
He's fantastic.
Wow. Well, now, we can have him on Zoom chat.
We should have him on because he was, I didn't talk to him much, but I talked to him.
Because if you remember, the reason we didn't have him on is because he said he only does Zooms.
Yeah, but now we've proven we can do Zooms.
True.
But he was an awesome guy. I really liked him a lot. We didn't chat for that long.
I feel like I might have met him. I don't remember.
Yeah, he's like, I don't know. I think he's younger than me, or at least he looks younger than me. Yeah. He's got like a cool beard, great salad on his head.
Yeah.
And
I think I met him.
He, unfortunately, you know, like he's like my man crush for the tournament. I upset him very much on the third day.
Oh.
I was driving in the car over the short game area to warm up. And Sean was on the other end of the range hitting some irons. Brian, Mark Nelson are watching him. Max is watching him because I think he's trying to work something out. Chatted for a minute, and I gave Sean a supplement for the round that Max was very upset and really didn't want him to take.
Got it.
But Sean took it, and Max looked at me like I'd like betrayed him all time.
And yet, there they are.
I look here at the scores. And
very tight.
Sean had the best round of the week. Thanks to my supplements.
Very tight. Well, there you go. See, Chad, I might need one of those tomorrow.
Yeah. I said it was Scranton's flight until it wasn't. He finished one back.
Scranton was there.
I met his partner, McReynolds. Have you met him?
I might have met him, yes.
One of the nicest guys ever.
Yes, I did meet him.
You should talk, when you talk to him, I'm not going to do the story justice, but he had a really... We sat in Gary's for a while and chatted. He had a really cool story about when he was, I think, 21 years old. He was over in Scotland, and he just came across the old course, St. Andrews, and he was just like, "Hey, can I get in today?" And they're like, "There's one spot open. You can get in." He rented some clubs. He ended up playing with guys like from the RNA.
Wow.
Like, you know, these big wigs of Scottish golf.
Yeah.
And... of course, I mean, he's a nasty golfer. So you say he went and shot like a 75 or something like that. And they were like really impressed with him. They shot like a 75 with rental clubs. So they invited him out. They're hanging. So he got this like magical, magical round at St. Andrews with like the brass of European golf. Wow. And that's pretty cool.
That is cool.
He's a really cool guy. Really mellow. Great listener. Very conversational. Nice back and forth. Real solid guy. begs the question.
I was about to say. I mean, yeah. I knew where you were going with this, but yeah. I assume we would just leave that leave that unsaid.
Yeah, but I love Patrick.
Good, good flight. Good flight there. So overall, look, I thought the course was in great shape, but they did not deliver on the 13 stems. In fact, not even close.
I think we got 11s.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. I don't like where you're going.
I don't think it's possible with the
weather. I don't understand. Well, I don't know. I mean,
well, no, but
did Troy not tell us on our own podcast that he will get in the 13?
I think they're just still too spongy.
And they reported 12-6, and they were not 12-6.
They were too. They're too spongy.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway,
you have one or the other. You have lush fairways and soft, like slower greens, or you have burned out fairways and fast greens.
Well, so that's where we I felt like we had fast fairways. That wasn't an issue, but the greens were still a little soft. Saturday played very difficult. With the pin, was it Saturday or Friday that had the tough pin placements? I think maybe it was Friday. Maybe it was the first day.
I thought Thursday and Friday were the harder pin placements. Saturday was the least hard.
It was Thursday and Friday, right? It was Thursday. The first
Thursday
day
was the hardest.
Was tough.
Yeah. So I will say this from playing for the blacks and playing with the first flight. So day one, hole 16. You know hole 16. It's long.
Yeah.
I was back. My backswing was hitting the bushes.
I told you that.
I finally listened to Sam. I hit a nice, smooth drive, and I hit one of the best drives of my life. It was 275. I walked it on the cart,
nice.
Right next to the sand traps, usually where I am when I hit from the blues. Zelani hits one 60 yards past me.
Yeah.
He has a gap wedge in from the tips.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And that's just like, that's a different
that's
class.
Different golf.
It's a different, that's different golf.
Well, we all know that exists.
Yeah.
But, it's,
I'll say I was very proud. My proudest accomplishment of the week was on the last day. I had fairway in reg, green in reg, 2-putt par net birdie on both 7 and 16.
Yeah, you
from
mentioned
the
that to me. That's
so
good.
I'm trying to find the silver lining here, Scott.
Look, CJ, I think you bit off a lot there. You struggled, but I think the silver lining is you came up the last day and didn't give up.
Yeah.
You had your best round the last day.
Yeah, no, so, that was, yeah. Jay was pretty happy with that. I think next year, I'm planning to bring Jay back, and he...
Well, you won't be at your low that you're at.
My
now.
Low will be about the same, but Jay's low will be 3 strokes higher.
Oh, well, yours may not be where it is either.
It won't be index-wise.
Yeah, so you guys will push yourselves into that.
But I already have my 12-month low is what it is right now. I'm going to go back up to like 12 or 13,
right.
Where
okay.
I should be.
Yeah.
As soon as I push that Sawgrass round out.
Yeah, that was Sawgrass round's got to go.
Yeah. I thankfully have, I am proud to say I've been invited to the Concord Country Club Invitational.
Wow.
And I'm playing it. It's, I got a pass to play. It's September 5 through 7. My 15th wedding anniversary is the 6th.
Who are you playing with?
Rob Whitmore. He's a neurosurgeon. He used to live across the street from me.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been hanging out lately, and he invited me. I was like,
"That's awesome!
I was freaking honored, man! Like to get invited
does
to an invitational is a big deal."
Does he know your invitational prowess, or I guess he doesn't?
I informed him.
Don't tell him about this podcast.
So
CJ, as I was just going to wrap up with general thoughts. Weather was great. No issues with the weather. That's nice. That's always something that's not you can't always say. The food both nights was good. The band on Friday night was good. I thought they overreached a little on some songs that they probably shouldn't have played, but we were all out dancing. I stayed out much later than I wanted to, but we had the late shift on Saturday, as you know, so we could stay out a little longer.
Yep.
I gather there was a late night party that I absolutely did not attend, and guys got home at 3 a.m.
I was absolutely planning to attend the Friday night dinner, but I got back home and we had dinner with my sister-in-law and her boyfriend, and I got pretty annihilated by like 8 p.m. So
I remember saying you were still drunk. So, hey, look, as long as you get your jag on, that's all.
It was Jay's birthday. So Jay went back home to his parents' house. Yeah.
Okay.
And I had texted him and he wasn't coming back, so I didn't feel obligated to come back, but...
No, it was a good event, and that was obviously well attended.
I didn't have the dinners, but the lunches, the barbecue lunch, like the the chicken
yep.
burgers, dogs. Chicken burgers, dogs. Like, nothing exotic about that, but yeah. they do it so well.
They do.
It was so freaking good.
They had the pizza,
and
the
lobster
good.
Roll.
Lobster rolls were good. Pizza was good. They did the smoker for, I think it was probably Friday night dinner, and then also into Saturday. They had a lot of leftovers, but they used them creatively.
Yeah.
And the Saturday lunch was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
It was like dinner for us, actually, because we got in at 6 o'clock at night.
And those fire pizzas
were
incredible.
Those were good.
Yeah.
So, you know, everything about it was good. I thought the pace of play was, the first day, I think, was brutal. The second and third days, I think, were, maybe it was, one of the days was terrible.
Yeah.
But the other 2 days were tolerable.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. You fill the course and... You know, if the shotgun day wasn't bad, which was interesting, I don't know why that happened. But, you know, all in all, great experience, nothing to complain about. And I won some money. I won about $2,000.
You
didn't have a lot of side bets, which probably was a good thing.
Yeah, I had one side bet with Crooker, and I lost $60.
Well, you were the only one he beat, FYI, because he lost a ton of money in the side bets.
I did win the first... inaugural prize, the CJ Johnson 2F2B award.
2F2B. There's a new award?
There's a new award.
That you've created.
For the most 2F first flight 2B double bogey. Most first flight double bogeys goes to me.
Wow.
I won it.
Are you sure about that? You went through the whole list?
I didn't have to, Scott.
Well, you never know, CJ. There was the garbage flight, remember?
No. This is first flight double bogeys.
Oh, first flight. Yeah. No, yeah.
It's the award to go
to... CJ, I would have given you that before the tournament started.
It's the award that goes to the person who least belongs in the first flight.
I did have
the highest handicap, so I was the
Who do you think was the second person that least belonged in your flight? I got to tell you, I would have said Ken Moyes, but he came in second place.
I don't know. I mean...
So I don't know a lot of the guests, but... I don't know. Maybe Dennis Reed?
Dennis Reed played well.
Like, I know, but I'm saying I would have picked in the beginning.
He hits
but
the,
it looks
he
like,
hits
it looks like everybody.
So he hit, their, I will say, so I played, we played with them 2 days in a row, and I'd met Dennis Reed before, very like in passing, but I hadn't really hung out with him before. We had a great time. On 9, the, is either day 2 or day 3. On 9, he had like 260 out. He hit a 3-wood that got to the green faster than any ball I've ever seen.
Wow.
He hits, because he was a hockey player.
Yeah.
And you know how hockey players, they hit slap shots.
Well, it's like what Rickenbach does. He hits these low-lying
missiles. Yeah.
They actually rise after about 100
yards. Like you were saying, when we played with him, it's like you could stand in front of him with your legs open, and he could croquet it through your legs.
You wouldn't try that, though, and I thought that'd be good viral video.
Yeah. but it was kind of cool. So on day 2, we kind of recognized, all right, we're going to be playing the next 2 days together. Me and Jay and Dennis and his guest. And so Alex was a cool guy. So he lives in Cleveland, and Dennis was his hockey coach.
Wow.
And it's like, oh, Cleveland. And I just brought up, I said, oh, you got to be, so what do you think about the Kelsey brothers? Like, you know, they're doing this like Cleveland Heights stuff. Like they're really famous and everything. And he said, well, funny story. I grew up 2 doors down from the Kelsey brothers.
Wow.
And.
Is it this guy? What's his name? Fagan?
Alex Fagan. Yeah. So it was cool. Like he said, he played hockey with Travis Kelsey growing up and stuff. And actually when he talked, he actually sounded kind of like them because that's, you know, you pick up how you talk from when you're growing up.
Yeah.
But he said that, he hadn't seen Travis Kelsey in 10 years, and he went to a Chiefs game, and he, like, saw him. And Travis was like, oh, my God, what's up? And he was still the same guy, super down to earth, like, hung out with him for a while.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't know, it's cool to hear that someone who's gotten so famous is so down to earth and, like, cool to the people that they grew up with.
Yeah.
Because some people don't do that.
Yes. No, we're all aware of that.
Yeah.
CJ, anything else regarding the Invitational? Like I said, I don't think anybody had anything to complain about.
No, I...
Staff did
everyone,
a good job.
Everyone did a great job.
Hopefully everybody tipped the locker room staff. They did a nice job. Food staff did a good job. I mean, it was really well run all the way around.
Great. I thought that there was a lot going on behind the scenes. I've heard of some of it. I haven't heard of all of it. I want to give a huge round of applause to Brian and Mark and the whole
yeah.
Pro Shop staff
yeah.
for just having a lot going on, staying level-headed, running Ryan a great tournament.
Yeah.
Tammy for like coming up with great yeah. guests. I got two pullovers. Both are fantastic.
Yeah, I haven't even opened my vest yet, but you saw I wore my red shirt.
Yeah, that was red my shirt. That was a nice red shirt.
It worked for me, CJ.
Yeah,
we came back from behind to come in second place.
It's awesome. And Cam was on fire at Gary's.
Well, I mean, come on,
of course,
it's Cam.
Yeah,
they all worked hard. Malaki was there a lot. Davis was there a lot. And, you know, Gary just runs the show. Gary just, he's like the puppet master. But we had a lot of that first day. I think
Gary has so much more power than any of us realize.
Oh, my God, yeah. Gary pulls all the strings. The first day when we came in after the round, that was we teed off late on Thursday?
Yeah.
There were 50-plus people in the lounge.
Yeah.
It was the biggest crowd I ever seen in that lounge.
Yeah.
And Gary was standing there with a big smile on his face. That's what he lives for.
Yeah.
You know, because that's what he misses, having been a bartender in the old pub where we used to have hundreds of people
yeah.
in the pub. And Gary used to sling drinks like it was nothing.
So. I will say this. I don't know if we'll have time to do it before mid-October. The Thursday pin places made me think of this. I would love if we had a Troy's Revenge.
We talked about it. We yeah. talked about it with him. I think it's a great idea.
And we should do it.
He may not be still here then, but... I think it's a great idea to, because Greg Cormier did it, where you just lick the greens down before the aeration, you put all the pins in all their worst places, and everybody goes out and gives it a shot.
Yeah.
And the idea is, don't complain that the course yeah. is too hard, and just go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, CJ, other news? We have a TWI coming up tomorrow.
Yeah.
CJ, this is so big that you and 2K are deploying walkie-talkies on the course.
Yeah, Bill Ward, 2K, and me are going out in carts. And
You should just get a drone system. It'd be even better.
All right, so I need... where's Gary?
Where's Gary?
I need a refill. Where's Gary?
I'm sorry. I didn't know I was functioning as Gary.
Oh,
today.
Yeah, thank you.
This is why we normally do this at the lounge. So I don't have to be the guy.
Thank
are you
him.
Drinking the straight or are you taking tonic?
Tons of ice.
Okay. Do we have tons of ice?
Yeah. Well, that's a Gary pour if I ever saw one.
Well, are you taking tonic?
No.
Oh, look
just
at
lots
you,
of ice.
Guy. All right. Well, we got two, and there's no ice for me. I can't have my second one.
All right. Well, let me call in an airdrop with Mira.
Wow, she'll be thrilled by that.
No, she's okay with making a guest appearance.
So the TWI tomorrow, we're playing Charles River. Those guys are scumbags.
No, they're not.
Oh, yeah, they are. You got to be careful with Charles River. I know this.
I've had really good experiences playing with Charles River.
All right, we'll see. We'll see you tomorrow, won't we?
But
me and Ange going back. CJ, me and Ange are not only undefeated, we're the largest point getter in the Northern TWI League. And we get to jump back on the plane tomorrow.
So... So I just texted Mira. Said, hey, babe. Guest appearance, also we need ice. Love ya. And Beb, Babe, B-E-B, auto-corrected to Deb. And she goes, all caps, who is Deb?
Wow. I guess I'm going to get my ice.
Ice coming right up, Mr. Johnson. we're going to get a guest appearance from my wife, Mira. If any of the gentlemen listening have not met my wife, you're missing out. She's awesome and...
Smarter than you.
Way smarter than me. Way hotter than me. I have outkicked my coverage.
Well, TJ, I wasn't even going to go there. That's pretty obvious.
Yeah. Yeah. but anyway, Charles River tomorrow. So we're in second place now in the TWI.
Yeah, I heard that we dropped.
We dropped because Wellesley won at home.
CJ, I don't know what more we can do than what we did to Meadowbrook.
Well, let me give you the layout. Wellesley has played 10. Out of 12 matches, Wellesley has played 10.
Oh, all right.
They're ahead of us. They have two matches left. They're both away.
Oh, good.
So they're playing at Barrett Hill and at Braeburn.
But
two really hard matches.
Is this a thing where everybody just assumes when you go on the road you're going to lose?
Oh, I mean, it's...
It doesn't
always
happen
like
that way.
We've won
two matches on the road.
Which is an absolute aberration why we're, like, so far in first.
All right. So we're going to make the playoffs, though, right?
We're definitely going to make the playoffs. I mean, knock on wood, we're definitely going to make the playoffs. But, oh, hello.
Hello.
You're the best.
Yeah, I know.
Thank you.
See, she knows.
You want to say, would you like to say hi to, would you like to say hi to both of our listeners?
Mira, I got a question for you. Do you listen to the podcast?
Hello, both listeners.
You see, you're rubbing off on your wife. That's not good, and I don't mean it that way. Well, maybe I do. I don't know. Do you listen to the podcast?
No, I do not.
Why?
That's Holder's terrible.
You told me not to.
CJ, you're doing yourself a disservice. The times when I speak are really, really good.
No, they're not. I think Flounder today was good. But
yes, we did a Zoom call with Bill Croker that he's gonna love.
Yeah, sounds awesome.
And how are you?
So,
Mira, you just came back from a trip.
I did.
How did that go?
It was great.
It probably is scary to leave CJ home alone, I would think.
No, we had...
We have cameras.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay.
We have a six-year-old, and so, you know, our six-year-old can keep an eye on him.
That is pretty much the way it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, yeah, Mira is a very hard worker. So she came straight from vacation home for 1 hour and then went straight to a board meeting.
Yeah.
Damn. By the way, you're
Isn't that crazy?
You are the first female ever to appear on the podcast. Congratulations.
Whoa.
We are breaking down walls here. It's 2024, for Christ's sake, CJ. Yeah. Breaking down walls.
Let the record show that the first female appearance on this podcast was fetching ice for the men.
Okay, there we go.
Fair enough.
See, this is but
fresh off a board meeting.
That's true. That's
right. True.
All right. Yeah. Well, it's been an honor. Thank you for having me on.
That was fantastic. What a guest appearance.
Thank you. Right. Thank you. Love you.
Thank you, Mira. You're the best.
Bye.
Wow. CJ.
Firecracker, man. I told you.
I mean, I didn't miss a day full of surprises.
Told you she's way better than me.
I might have found my new podcast partner. Maybe I'll start getting more than two listeners.
Yeah, that's fair. I have no comeback to that. But
that was fantastic. I see, Jay, I get it with the twice. We got to win.
Yeah,
we put a lot of work in. We're still not where we want.
No, we control. I would say this: we control our destiny. As much as a team can control its destiny. We have three matches left: two home, one away. Now the away match, we're gonna have to send our A team.
That's our Bellevue match, right?
That's
Bellevue
a big match. And
that course.
No,
sucks.
they're
no the course sucks. I'm not saying the players do.
Oh, but they're fourth or fifth in the league right now. Yeah. I don't know how they check out the last couple
days. Their course is kind of quirky.
But and I think it's a 9-hole course. You play
mm-hmm.
twice.
Mm-hmm.
So as familiar as we are with Neshadak, they're twice as familiar with Bellevue.
There you go. Good math there, CJ.
Yeah, that was a nugget from Rick O'Shana today.
Wow.
Rick O'Shana, who...
He was able to do that multiplication. Yeah. That's fantastic.
Yeah. His call sign when we have the walkie-talkies is Romeo Omega.
Yeah, he's got to be thrilled by that.
Yeah. I'm Charlie November, but I'm thinking about changing my name to Ron Mexico.
Well, I don't understand why you're Charlie November. If he's Romeo Omega, that's because he's Rick O'Shana. Why are you Charlie November?
Because Jay is Juliet and I want to be Juliet.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. So why did you pick N?
Because Charlie November
sounded... Middle name or Charlie November
sounded good?
Sounded like a movie?
Well, because Bill Shy changed his name to Irish Whiskey, so I was like, all right.
Wait a second. Wait, you all have code names?
Yeah.
This twice gone way too far. One of the big problems is we have nerds running it as captains, okay? So right off the bat, that's big. And you got the guys like me who are the soldiers. I mean, it's all mixed up.
It's not a problem at all.
It's all mixed up.
This new computer that I got that Bill Crooker zoomed in on has a neural network core in it specifically for TWI. Because that's we have algorithms terrifying. That we're running that...
Can I ask you questions offline?
Offline you can ask me, but I am not giving up the secret sauce. We are...
I want to know
and
about
I
me.
I didn't even come up with it. Bill Ward, sneaky genius.
Yeah, he sneaky seems genius. To understand these things.
Sneaky genius. He is, I would say, the mastermind of...
He's like Max Headroom?
Yeah. Okay. I think Bill Ward is the mastermind of how we're in first place right now.
Okay.
I think it's like...
I think it's as simple as me winning all my matches, but whatever you think. Whatever you think.
That's what the math led to.
So this is the old argument of, like, the Red Sox used to have. Is it the geeks in the front office who believe in the stats, or is it the players in the field who are doing their job?
It's both.
Okay.
All right. The stats quantify how well they do their job.
All right. Okay. I feel a little bit like I'm being used right now, but that's okay.
You are.
I'll bounce back.
You feel like that because that's what's happening.
See, do we have anything else? We have our... We're still alive in the... All this has been going on, yet we're still alive in the Nishada Cup. We're alive to win a major tournament.
We have a semifinal coming up against Pete Robinson and Jason Courier. Right. I have it on good authority that Pete Robinson has a bad back.
I have it on good authority that we're going to kick their asses.
I'm tired of this. Have snuck into Pete Robinson's car and thrown a spur into his driver's seat.
CJ, whatever you got to do.
Yeah.
I mean, look, after what we went through against... J. Joe and Johnny Freeman, whatever you have to do. I can't do 27 holes again.
So I, Steve Camp sent me a text message today, and it was a video from, so all the invitationals in the world are going on right now. They're all like the same. They're all the same 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And he was like, this made me think of your 27 hole match. So it was a video of, there's a shootout in an invitational, and they get to a par three, and everyone's videoing it. You know how shootouts go. Everyone's out there watching it. Guy freaking aces a par three. Walk off, hole in one to win the Invitational.
Wow.
Everyone was crazy. It's really cool.
Wish we'd done that.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. Anything else, CJ? Do we have anything else?
No, it's been 40 minutes. I think we're probably good.
No, it was good. It was good. It's a good wrap up. Good talk with Kirker. I hope he feels better. I hope he gets off his high horse a little bit. And then we're going to go out tomorrow.
Yeah, what is this thing about existing on another plane?
CJ, if you'd seen what I saw on Saturday.
Not surprising.
I'm not even sure he was in his own body. Let's put it that way.
I think that's what happened.
Yeah, yeah. There was some... So here's what happened with him that day. Not only was he awful playing golf, but he basically given up. And then... Once they both finally woke up a little, like with 4 or 5 holes left, they played pretty well. And I said to Corker on the last hole, I said, if you guys had played like this the whole time, you would have had a much better time.
Yeah.
So anyway, all good stuff. We'll reconvene in maybe a couple weeks. We'll have more updates, but still plenty going on. CJ, the club championship signups came out today.
Are you signing up?
I already did. See, I got a problem with one thing, though. They got the senior club championship at 50+. And that was fine when I was 50, but I'm 63 now. And that's a large gap between me and the guy who's 50. You're almost 50, for Christ's sakes.
I'm not that close to 50.
No, you're not. But like Brendan Driscoll, not that Brendan joining the senior men's bothers me or scares me, but I'm just saying, there seems to be a big age gap there. I think... The senior men's club championship should be 55+. It should move as I get older.
What do you think? Are they basing that, you think, on like the Champions Tour age? Because that's a 50 thing.
I thought that was even younger.
No, it's 50.
Maybe. I don't know.
Is Tiger Woods going to play in the Champions Tour?
I doubt it.
No way.
No, he'll never do. He wouldn't stoop for that. He doesn't have to either. He doesn't need any more money. He'll just keep trying to play in majors.
Didn't Phil Mickelson win the PGA Championship at 50+? 53, right?
He did.
Yeah.
Look, I think we've seen the last of Tiger Woods winning a championship, but I would say big props to Xander Schauffele. Not my favorite guy, only because he's friendly with Patrick Cantlay, who I think is the total douche. But Schauffele knows how to put the nail in the coffin. He's done it twice now in majors. That's something that you can't teach. You either have that inside of you or you don't.
If you had dry eyes seeing his dad after he walked off 18, then you're not human.
No, it's great. And I understand he's a good guy. I just don't particularly like his choice in Patrick Cantlay, but...
You don't know that he's actually good friends with him.
Well, they were kind of pitching a hole as being together during the Ryder Cup when all that shit went down. So...
Yeah, but if you
Cantlay
have...
Cantlay is a total D-bag. Everybody knows.
But if you have a total D-bag on your team, you put him with the person who's the most even keel who can deal with it.
I think they're friends. That's the issue.
I don't think they are.
All right. I hope you're right. However, I have full respect for the way Schauffele just put his foot on the throat. Especially, I would have won the your pool if Billy Horschel had won, but he just... And I'm not going to call it choking. It's hard, But he just couldn't do what Shoffley did. What Shoffley did was amazing.
They're all saying the back nine of Troon was the hardest back nine, the hardest nine holes
I've
ever played.
But he made it look easy.
Yeah.
I mean, he was amazing in that back nine. Yeah. So good for him. I love to see good golf like that. I mean, I miss the Tiger days where he was the only one doing it. But now you just got to accept there's a lot of guys out there who can do it on a given day.
Yeah.
And this is the way it is. But that was a great tournament.
Can we just say, like, this is off topic a little bit.
Yeah.
Tiger Woods was the greatest golfer of all time.
He may be one of the greatest
athletes of all time.
Yes, because he really was an athlete. He changed the way that guys prepared for golf.
Yeah.
If you think about it, I'll never forget when he was in his peak and he would wear that Sunday red and he would always wear those tight Nike shirts. And you'd look at him like, this guy, he looks like a freaking god.
He's an Adonis.
And back then, you had all these guys like Marco Mir, who was his buddy, and they all, Tiger did. But the other guys looked like you and me.
Yeah, boars.
Yeah, and they were winning before Tiger came along with those bodies. He changed the entire thing.
Yeah.
Now they all look like that. I mean, now you got a guy like Bryson DeChambeau who looks like he's a bodybuilder.
Did you see Brochambeau's YouTube video with Trump?
No.
So he does this series, Breaking 50, where they play from the reds.
Really?
And they try to break 50.
Oh, that's fun. We should try that.
Yeah, and it's a scramble.
The average.
Two-man scramble. And the first time he did it with like a YouTube golfer, this guy, GM Golf. I forget his actual name. But they got 50 on the nose. He's done it a few times after that. They haven't broken 50. And, you know, they're playing par fours at like 280 yards from the reds.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And 5-iron on every hole.
He did it, him and Sergio, but they did it from the whites instead because they're like, the reds are too easy.
Yeah.
But he played from the reds with Trump as a scramble, and they got 50. They didn't break 50, but they got 50.
Did they ever use Trump's ball?
Yeah.
Really?
Trump was pretty good. His swing is a little gnarly, but...
I understand that Trump can hit the ball.
Yeah, he can hit the ball okay. His putts were all, like, either in or by the hole.
Well,
he's actually a decent golfer.
Brought up.
I'm pretty sure that they probably heavily edited the video and only showed his good shots. But
so CJ, I don't know if you're aware, but the reason we don't have reds is because way back when Byron McCluskey was running the golf committee, they decided that designating red for the ladies was not appropriate, and that's why they changed the colors.
Interesting.
And yet everybody else has red. So I don't know. I don't know, whatever, the red tent? Whatever. I don't know. I don't know what was going on there.
Whatever.
But.
Well, you know, Chip Curran's stepping down as the golf committee chair this year because, I mean, he has to. He's term limited.
Yes, he's not stepping down.
Who's going to be the
next? He's probably being dragged off stage like Joe Biden.
Who's going to be the next golf chair?
Well, it's not going to be you, I hope.
No.
It's not going to be Eric Rickenbach, I know.
No.
So, it's terrifying to think. I don't know. You know who could do it? And I think would do it, although he doesn't play enough golf, is Jay Wren. Jay wouldn't mind. I don't think he wouldn't mind being back on the board again. He did it once. He got off because of, I think, mostly work and family commitments. But I think now he could handle it again. And he could be the golf committee chairman. And he could put good people on the committee. Well, there are already some already. But he wouldn't be a bad choice.
I was thinking Will Shapiro.
Shapiro would be fine, too. You got to have someone... The problem with the golf committee chairman is you have to be on the board. And no one wants to be on the freaking board.
Yeah.
The guys that want to be on the board, you don't want to be with. You know what I mean?
I had a really good conversation with Rickenbach about that, and it was basically like... Rickenbach is a man of great wisdom.
He's a man of great... Okay.
He said basically like, I have a lot of stress in my life. There's a lot going on.
Right.
Nishadok is my escape. It's where I go to have fun. Why in the world would I put myself in the position?
Anybody who's been on the board will tell you that.
Yeah.
Look, you and I talked about it, and I'm going to say it on mic. When I went through my shit with the board, there were people on that board and that probably were like, this is not what I signed up for, to get in the middle of this. You know what I mean? I mean, there are people on that board that were like, I'm going to run the pool committee because I want the pool to be as good as it can possibly be, and I think I can help. I have extra time, or I have some perspective. Blah,
and they
blah,
crush
blah.
It.
And they, and I'm sure, yeah. I'm sure, I wouldn't know because I don't hang in the pool.
They crush it.
But I'm sure they crush it. And then all of a sudden, they're involved in this, the kind of crap that's been going on recently.
Yeah.
And they're like, this is not what I signed up for.
I also, I almost think that it's almost like boards for country clubs should be composed maybe of some members, but maybe of some outsiders.
Potential, like a regular board of directors.
And maybe you do like an exchange. Like, I'm a board member at Braeburn, and a Braeburn member is a board member at Neshadtok.
So that you have all your perspective would be
purely objective.
And yeah, not right, not biased to members, but just this is the way a country club should act.
This is the way they act. You say we have a network of 8 country clubs or whatever. And we have shared values, shared ways of doing things.
CJ, you should be on the board of directors at Concord. Since you're going to play there anyway. You know what? You could be a board of director member at Winchester. That would be perfect.
Well, I've been promoted, as you know, to be a board member of Concord.
Yes, it's amazing.
Not country club, but the town.
So that should get you in. That should open every door for you.
Well, as I told a member of my team who is... So two of us are running this music festival.
Wait, you have a team now?
Yeah.
You have a team?
Yeah. I was like, we're either going to... Like, we had a meeting at Neshoba Bakery, which is a great place to have lunch.
Yes.
And I said, in a year, we're going to walk in here, and either people will be like, hey, they're in that cool music festival. That's awesome. Or they'll be like, wow, they really fucked that up.
Well, look, it's a one-shot deal. That's the thing. And it's a very... It's going to be massive from a national and international perspective in terms of awareness.
Yeah.
So you're sitting on a powder keg.
Yeah, so you
can't screw it up. You cannot. Yeah, you don't have any rope on this.
250th anniversary of the birth of America.
Right.
It's going to be awesome, and we're going to have a lot of fun. And I think I mentioned to you before, I'm really hoping that we can turn it into a Folds of Honor benefit.
Yes, that would be awesome.
We just need to find out. We're digging through the bylaws right now to figure out whether or not that's actually a thing we can do.
CJ, have you gotten a music collect yet?
Yes.
A good one?
Yes.
Because if you introduce the Folds of Honor thing, now you open up, like, you might get someone like one of the country guys. Like, who's the hottest country guy now? Like,
I mean,
what's his name? What are those guys' names?
I mean, I think the best voice in country is Chris Stapleton.
So, all right, whatever. Is that who you got? Good for you, CJ.
No, we didn't get him. But, no, we'll get someone good. The thing is that we can't headline anybody who is so big that people would, like, fly here just for that. Because we already have, like...
No, I don't want that.
Right. We're only going to have 150,000 people here just for the reenactment and the dedication.
What about the group that Neshadtok put together? All those guys. They could be the headliners. I'd have to sing at that point.
Yeah, so Trank mentioned me the other day because Trank's a drummer. That I'm gonna go.
You can give them a set, right?
I'm gonna go jam with them.
You can give them a set.
You know, I play some guitar. I'm actually really good at guitar, but
yeah,
whatever.
You are good at guitar.
Yeah, but
you better. I'm staring at 8 guitars you have hanging on your wall. You better be good at guitar.
I have 20 more upstairs.
I know you do, CJ. I've been upstairs too. Yeah. You have a mural on your wall.
Yeah, I took you upstairs.
That sounded weird.
Shit. I think we've had too much gin.
No, we haven't had too much. We've had too good of a gin. We're not used to this.
But yeah, we should probably wrap it up at this point.
I did want to say one more thing, CJ. Yeah. I was at the X-Golf conference in Vegas and met Paige Spiranek. Do you know who she is?
I don't, but I was...
Are you serious? You don't know who Paige Spiranek is?
I don't.
Okay, tonight you will Google it, and then you'll have something to do later.
I can't go. I can't Google that tonight because I'm leaving right now to go up to Winnipesaukee to motorboat.
So you do know Paige Spiranek.
What?
Okay. Yeah, there it is.
I met her.
She was very nice. I thought that they did a little like interview because she's the sponsor of. I mean, she's a what do you call it? What do they call those guys? Partner.
Yeah.
She's a spokesperson for X-Golf. And they gave her the softball questions, and she went on about things. She said some things that were great and some things that were, like, a bit self-serving. But that could have been anybody. She looks fantastic. She likes X-Golf, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, she was very, very nice. Very great. Nice. And look great. So yeah. There you go.
Good for her.
Yeah, just want to throw that in there. It Google's Paige Sporanic if you don't know who she is, and you'll have a nice evening.
All right.
Or next when you hear this. All right, TJ, let's sign us out, baby.
All right, peace, love, and reciprocals.